You are listening to the Gateway Church located in Ferriesburg, Michigan. You can learn more about us by visiting thegateway.church or like and follow us on Facebook, where you can watch full services, keep up with all that is going on, and get connected.
All right. Well, we've been in a series called Suit Up. Everyone say Suit Up. And thinking about the armor of God, we know that God has great plans for our lives. He's got great plans for every single one of us. There's not one person that is exempt from that. Sometimes we think too small in regards to God's plan, but it's a great plan. He has plans to help us and to challenge us, to get us along the way. But I want you to know that the enemy has a plan as well, to steal, to kill, to destroy. The devil works to undermine what God is doing and in and through us, especially when we step up and say, hey, I want to be effective for the Lord. How many know that automatically makes you a greater target? The truth is, Satan knows that every word spoken over you from the Word of God is true, and he hates that. He knows that it's true that you're forgiven, that you have victory in Jesus, that there's no condemnation, and you can elicit the power of the name of Jesus at any moment, and there's strength and authority that comes in the name of Jesus. Satan knows that we ultimately win, but he, in the process, is going to try to take us down. It's a shame that the enemy believes more about our potential than we do at times, and because of that, we need to turn and say to each other, hey, we're going to suit up. We're going to put on the armor of God. With the Lord's help, we're going to take some ground for Jesus. Now, the goal of this series is not to give the enemy too much credit or too little credit. We're not going to be looking under every rock or around every turn saying, hey, is the devil there? Are you calling out the devil? No, but we do know that the enemy is real. We're going to read that in a second. We understand that the enemy is out to kill and destroy, but there's a solution that will help us as believers to be victorious, and it's found in the book of Ephesians. This series is rooted in the book of Ephesians. I've given you an assignment to read and reread the book of Ephesians every single week throughout this series, and I would encourage you to do that. Now, I want us to stand. We're going to honor God's word as we read, but as we stand, I want you to think back to your earliest days. When was the first time you heard about the armor of God? Just curious, anybody can go back all the way to the flannel graphs. Somebody seen the flannel graphs? On the board. And some of you are like, "What is a flannel graph?" And you'll have to just look it up. You can Google it. All right, you saw that. For others of you, if you fast forward a few years, how many remember Oriental Trading Company, where you could buy 100 helmets and shields and swords, and you would outfit kids in kids' church with the armor of God? How many remember that as a kid? You just had, maybe you got a sword or a shield or a breastplate, something like that. Maybe it was a Sunday school class, or maybe it was in a sermon series. I want just to challenge us that as we consider this series, we're the second week in here, and we've got a few weeks to go for sure, that what you've learned, there are layers of understanding. And what you have learned in the past, there's new learning for me as I'm studying this, and for us together collectively, and we want to get everything out of this series. Let's read it. It says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, a final word. Paul is wrapping up the letter to the church in Ephesus. He says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. It's not enough for us to will ourselves or to create enough energy in our own being to defeat the enemy. We need the power of Jesus. It's his power. Can I get an amen? Amen. We're going to put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. How many know when it says strategies, that's the schemes, that's the trickiness, that's the darkness that Satan, it's so prevalent. We see that in verse 12. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. It's real. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. And the time of evil may look different in each one of our circumstances. For some of you today, the time of evil is maybe a health crisis or a marriage issue. Or maybe you're raising your kids and there's some things happening that you're not happy about. Or a work-related issue or an addiction or some other sort of pain. And so we need to be aware that when the time of evil comes, there's protection, there's a plan for us. And so then after battle, you will be able to stand firm. And then verse 14 says, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth. And I got my belt of truth on. Just want to make it known, right? And this belt of truth, as we talked about it last time, is a understanding that we are to be prepared, that we're to be ready. It's almost like buckling up in the car, or if you're taking a plane ride for spring break next week, they will not take off unless you are buckled in. This is a weight belt, and the truth is representing our core, the stability that comes when we put on Jesus. What would Jesus do? How many of you are sporting your weight belt on your wrist? What would Jesus do? The encouragement is that this series, we'd wear these throughout the series. We put on Jesus, right? We're not confused. We put on Jesus. And the truth is Jesus himself. So we're putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. Verse 15, for shoes, put on the peace that comes from the gospel or from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all these things, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Some people pause there or stop there when it talks about the armor of God. But the truth is there's another verse that speaks so important that it covers all of these things. Verse 18 says, pray in the Spirit at all times. In fact, let's read that together. Verse 18, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Everyone say, suit up, and then you can have a seat. Thank you, Lord, God, that you're working, you're strengthening us, and God, you're giving us insight into how to be victorious with your help, in Jesus' name. You know, when we read this and we see the battle imagery, it is supposed to spark an urgency and an intensity for us. This is serious. It's life and death. Paul is writing this to the church in Ephesus. He is in prison, probably chained to a Roman soldier. And he notices that on the soldier, there is a breastplate. And he describes it as he's writing to the church in Ephesus as a symbol. He calls it the breastplate of righteousness. I'm going to go ahead and take this off because I got more illustrations coming. Just wait. And when he says the breastplate of righteousness, he's watching the soldier, and it's a symbol of protection. The question is, what does the breastplate body armor protect? It protects the vital organs, our heart and our lungs, and it would be similar to a bulletproof vest. And yes, this is a real issue. Bulletproof vest. Now, this is lighter than I expected, but it is effective to save the life of a cop. Inside of this, I was told when it was dropped off that there are two plates. One is a little bit bigger. This has the ability to stop certain bullets. I didn't take the notes, but then also this is the real one inside, and this is called the Arashat ballistic insert, and the combination protects the heart region. What's interesting to me is that this, I kind of thought that the bulletproof vest would have covered everything, but no, it is intended to just cover the heart. And what we need to understand in this series is that Satan attacks our heart, our souls, to inflict the most amount of spiritual harm and damage. And if Satan can attack our heart and our soul, if he can get at our hearts, he will win. That's why Proverbs 4:23 says this, guard your heart on every occasion, right? Above all else, for it determines the course of your life. You need to write that verse down, that we're to guard our heart above all else. So, how do we protect ourselves? We suit up. We put on the breastplate of righteousness, which reflects living a life that pleases God, characterized by obedience and a pursuit of righteousness. And that might all sound good, but ultimately, when it boils down, similar to the way that this belt represents putting on Jesus, what would Jesus do? The same is true, we're going to see, for the belt, for the breastplate of righteousness. We are putting on Jesus, and that's the point. Now, there's a slide here. I want it to come together. Let's go ahead and put them both up together. It says, righteous living equals protection. When we choose to live righteous, it protects us like the breastplate does. Unrighteous living is an invitation. This is really important for us to get our mind around, and this is going to be the kind of the crux of where we're headed today. But let's talk about that first one, the righteousness, that it's a protection. What will guard the most vital parts of our lives? It's righteousness. Putting on righteousness. Psalm 106:3 says it is joy. It is joy for those who deal justly with others and always do what is right. Proverbs 13:6 says godliness, or in some of your versions, it should say righteousness. For righteousness guards the path of the blameless, but the evil are misled by sin. This is what we're going to explore. You can look at the idea of righteousness and think of it as right living, right? So, and that is important, and that is part of righteousness, to understand, all right, who will you date? How will you talk? How will you spend your money? How are you raising your kids? It's your habits. It's your day in and day out decisions that to choose to live right, right? It's our righteousness, right living. The second thing it might describe is meeting a certain standard. Well, we talked about it last week. The standard is Jesus. It's we put on Jesus. That's where the truth lies. It's not, I'm not your standard, certainly, Ben Vey, or Ed Craig Rochelle, or any other internet sermons that you might be watching. It's not your grandparents or your parents. It's the decisions and the actions have to meet a certain standard of righteousness, right? So it could be right living, meeting a standard, or even passing an inspection. You think of righteousness. A couple weeks ago, I went to the Navy boot camp graduation. I think that's what it's called. It probably has a technical term. But Valo, some of you know him. I've mentored him since he was fifth grade, and we prayed for him before he went in. And he was graduating, and I went, and I was absolutely impressed. I'd never been a part of anything like that. I grabbed Valo. We were on our way to have lunch with his family. He rode with me, and I asked him, what was your experience like? And he's like, it was 24/7. You are on at all times. And I was like, oh, tell me about that. And one of the things he mentioned is that there are inspections at any time, and you had to be ready. And the same is true for us. We should be right living because we will be inspected. This idea of righteousness, these ideas of right living, meeting a standard, passing inspection, it's true on all accounts. But righteousness guards the most vital parts of our life, and those things are incomplete unless we understand that we're putting on Jesus. The truth is that Jesus is our righteousness. It's Jesus. In fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 is a great verse for us to hold on to. It says, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering for our sins, so that we could be made right with God," say it with me, "through Christ." It's Jesus that we put on that protects our heart. How many of you ever heard the idea of being clothed in righteousness? Like we put on this robe and all of a sudden Jesus, when he looks at us, he doesn't see our sin anymore. He sees this protection, he sees us as perfection, which is absolutely mind-boggling, but it's the truth of God's word. We don't deserve it. It's a free gift, and God helps us in that. And the reason we need that is because Romans 3:10 says that none of us are righteous. Not even one. Some of you might be thinking, well, I do a pretty good job. My good behavior, my good deeds. And you say, I'm a good person. And I hate to burst your bubble, but you are not. You're not a good person, and neither am I. We all have a sin nature, and we all fall short of the glory of God. And because of that, we need to tap in to Jesus, that he covers our sin. He's the one that clothes us in righteousness. Romans chapter 8, verse 37 says, "No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours," again, "through Christ who loved us." It's Christ. We are more than conquerors, but it's through Jesus, through his example. And because he covers us, we are able to be protected, and that righteous living, it protects us. But we also know that there's righteous living, which is protection. Unrighteous living is an invitation. And that's the second part of the message. If right living guards our heart, then wrong living invites the enemy in. And I want to talk about that second portion of unrighteous living as an invitation. I heard an illustration this week that right living is like a boat floating. Unrighteous living is like a boat that has been capsized, a canoe. And what does a boat that has been capsized do? It sinks, right? And when we sin, when we give the enemy an invitation to our heart, it opens the door for the devil's influence. That's why Ephesians 4:27 says, give no opportunity, right? Not even a little bit. You don't even want to give the enemy a sliver. You want to be righteous before the Lord. Now, the enemy's invasion, when it comes after us, it always starts with an invitation. It starts with compromise. We become desensitized to God's glory. There's chaos. There may be struggle all around. There's darkness, and we get used to it, and it's normal. In fact, I would say in the day and age that we live, if you're just buzzing along, we are bombarded with darkness. It's everywhere we turn, and we don't even realize that there's this moral decay around us. I'm not sure if any of you have driven on 96 past Coopersville. Anybody done that? What is Coopersville called? I didn't say it. That's what you. I've heard that. But the reason is because the trash mountain there, right? And you drive by and you know it. And especially if you're on a motorcycle, you're glad once you're past, you can breathe easy. And if you live there, I love you. And I don't know why you live there, but just kidding. It's a great place to live. And I've heard their schools are some of the best. And so no shame to Coopersville. The point is, those that live in Coopersville, I've heard, after a while, they don't even realize that they're living close to a trash mountain. They've become desensitized. And the same is true with us. if we're not careful, if we're not aware, we can get so used to the sin around us that it doesn't even affect us. And that is scary. Now, we're called to do something with our sin. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 through 24 gives us a glimpse. It says, but that isn't what you've learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth, everyone say the truth, that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. And then verse 24 is the key. It says, put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So let me give you a visual here for a moment. I used to be a kids pastor, and when we would talk about verses like this, and in fact, this verse in particular, verse 24, we would do a little illustration. We'd take a diaper, we'd take a Snickers, we'd pop it in the microwave for 30 seconds, and we'd have a dirty-looking diaper. How many know what I'm talking about, right? And so we would take that, and we would talk about, like, if you're going to change the kid, you don't just put another diaper on top of the dirty diaper. You have to take off the old, clean up a little bit, and then put on the new. If you're tracking with me, say, I'm with you, Pastor. Well, the same is true for us. When we talk about suiting up, putting on the armor of God, we've got to take off the old nature and we put on the righteousness of Christ. We put on Jesus. We put on righteousness. And can I just say, I've met a lot of believers that will put on, they'll give their heart to Jesus, and they'll say, well, how close can I get to the world and still be saved? Or how they'll flirt with the edge. And I get it because I've done it as well. How much compromise? If I cheat here, or if I steal here, or it's my bad attitude here, or whatever the case might be, how close can I get? And it's a challenging thought, saying, all right, if I put on the armor of God, put on righteousness, I'm covered. But when I step into unrighteous behavior, it's an invitation. One of the evangelists that have been here a couple times now, how many remember Kavar? You love Kavar. He's great. He'll be coming back for sure. I had the opportunity last time he was here to take him out to lunch. And as we were just talking, we have two things in common, a love for fitness and a love for movies. And we talked about working out, different things. I've actually worked out with Pastor Sean, and Kavar came to our CrossFit gym a couple times. It was great. So with a fitness thing for sure. But I'm on a kick right now. I'm looking for good movies based on a true story. If you've got any, send them my way. I've just been, you know, if I'm going to watch a movie, I want it to be based on a true story. How many like a good based on a true story movie? All right, I'm not alone. Now, so he mentions that I said, hey, when you're done doing what all you have to do, I'm like, what do you like to do? What's your passion? He says, fitness and movies. And I was like, oh, movies. And I told him about he's like, oh, yeah, good movie here and there. And I said, hey, do you ever struggle with, based on a true story, movies sometimes are inappropriate? How many know what I'm talking about? Like, maybe not good for our soul. And he's like, yeah. And he said it with so much humility. He's like, there's just a lot of movies that I'm just going to miss out on. And I'll tell you, it really challenged me. Because there's been some movies that I've watched and allowed, and I'm like, oh, man, I probably shouldn't have. But it just happened. And I appreciated our evangelist, Kavar, and his standard. And he's saying, you know what? I don't miss them. He said, you know, we don't miss out on the old, right? God makes everything better. And then he said something. And when he said it, I dropped my fork and I left the table. He said, you know the types of movie I really like? Are Hallmark movies. I'm not lying. That's what he said. And if you like Hallmark movies, I mean, more power to you. Unless it's based on a good true story, I don't want to see it. But I appreciated Kavar and his conviction and just saying, you know what? I'm going to protect. My righteous living is going to be a protection. I'm not going to give the enemy even a sliver, a stronghold. So let's put it up there again. Righteous living is protection. Unrighteous living is an invitation. And because of that, we need to suit up and we need to be protected. But, you know, when you put on the belt of truth, you put on the breastplate of righteousness, or you have the other tools that we'll talk about over the next few weeks, when you have those individually, there is a strength that comes, but there is a strength that comes when we do that together. We are the body of Christ, every single one of us together. One soldier on their own, armored up, it has some effectiveness, but I'll tell you, it is going to run out quickly. But you put a battalion together, you put a group of Navy seamen at the graduation, it was 1,016 seamen. I mean, it was incredible just the display. And these are the best of the best going to serve our country. I was proud to be an American that day. I was teary-eyed. And I was thinking, as I was studying this week, we are the army of God. We come together, we're the church, and it's together that we're better. We become the army of God. You cannot expect to separate yourself from the army and win. If you go rogue, if you get isolated, it gives the enemy an opportunity. It's an invitation. The individual pursuit of right living, it's necessary. That's important personally. But when we do that together, we will be stronger together. We cannot win the war on our own. We need Jesus. We need each other. Because it's our righteous living that will protect us. It's unrighteous living that's an invitation. And so we've got to be careful what we're feeding into our lives. If you feed the Spirit of God, if you're together, if we spend time in God's presence together, there will be protection. You will be protected. But if you go rogue, or if you start to feed your flesh, if you allow sin to enter in, bad choices, unrighteous living, the result will be an invitation, a hook that will potentially take you down. So we got to be careful how we're living. And I just want to speak to those that are here. You're saying, well, how does it all work? Well, you come as you are to Jesus. But you don't stay as you are, right? Ephesians 6:18 says, pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion, stay alert and be persistent. Zechariah 4:6 says this, it's not by force nor by strength, but by my Spirit. It's the Spirit of God that leads us, that brings us to Jesus. And when we do that, we can put on Jesus. Another way in Scripture that it is talked about is the fact that we need to be born again. The perfect illustration is Nicodemus and Jesus having a discussion in the Gospels. In the Gospel of Matthew, you can read it. And they're going along, and Nicodemus says, how am I to be saved? And Jesus says, well, you got to be born again, right? And he's like, how does that work? Do we go back into our mother's womb? No, it's our spirit that is born again. It's the Spirit of God. It's the idea that we give full control of our lives over to Jesus. And I'll tell you, it's the greatest deal that ever was. We turn in our sin, we get the righteousness of Jesus. It's a gift from God through Jesus Christ. And until we embrace that righteousness, until we put it on, we are going to be far away. And I'll tell you, the enemy can wreak havoc. And so my encouragement is for all of us to suit up, to put on. And what that means is that it starts with us turning our hearts to Jesus, being born again. I'm going to ask the team to come, and we're going to pray. We'll be on our way here. The question I have for you today is, have you been born again? First service, there was a young man that's been around for a while. He's decided to take some next steps. He's doing some good things. And he realized today that he had never been born again. And he surrendered his life to the Lord. He'd been coming to church for months. And it was like, okay, the light bulb came on. He needed the righteousness of Jesus. He'd been trying to do it. He was checking off boxes saying, all right, I'm going to church. I'm giving. I'm going on a missions trip. I'm doing this, or I'm going to run for World Vision, or I'm going to do these things, or I don't, I'm nice to my neighbors, and I don't cheat on my taxes, and whatever, he's saying all these things. But you know what the Bible calls it on our best day when we list all the good things that we do? Filthy rags. On our best day, it's filthy rags. And because of that, we need a Savior that will cover our sin and put righteousness on over us. And so today, with your head bowed and eyes closed, second service, if you're here, I'm curious, is there anyone here that needs Jesus to save them? There's a free gift of salvation available. You must be born again. If you are ready to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you just to lift your hand right where you are. Not going to embarrass you. Yes, we've got a couple here in the middle. Thank you. Another. Yes, thank you. Saying, I need Jesus to forgive me of my sins. Anyone else? Just give you a moment. Put your hand down. Thank you. Anyone else? I think there were three. It may have been a fourth. If you're online, still watching, you can just type in the chat, I need Jesus, and we will follow up. We've got some resources we can put in your hands. I'm going to ask everyone to stand, and I want us to just pray a simple prayer. It's not the prayer that will save you. It's you believing in your heart that you're saying, Lord, cover me in righteousness. Would you pray this after me? Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I'm sorry for the sin in my life, but today I choose to put my faith in you. Would you cover my sin with your righteousness? Take away my sin and make my heart clean. Thank you. And help me today to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know what the Bible says? When even one gives their heart to Jesus, that the angels in heaven rejoice. And so we rejoice with those that raise their hands. And man, we're so glad. We've got some resources. We've got some resources, some first steps to take. And I'll get those to you here shortly. But we want to respond with a song, and then I want to come back with one final thought about living a righteous life. But without further ado, Pastor Bobby, would you lead us? Amen. It's Jesus who is our righteousness. The technical term for that is that his righteousness has been imputed on us, or another way, it's justification. So when we receive Jesus, it's just as if we've never sinned. It's kind of a deep look. There's another portion of righteousness that we would call sanctification. That's right living after we've accepted Jesus. And that's the pursuit of being more like Jesus. And that will continue until the day we die, until we're made perfect in heaven. But when it comes to sanctification, pursuit of holiness, you could say, it's a decision that we've got to make every single day. And I promise you this, that if we don't choose to live right and to pursue God. We're not going to be perfect, but our bent is to say, no, we want to do what's right. And when we don't, and we allow sin, it's an invitation for the enemy. And the truth of that should rock our world. And I just want to encourage you to choose Jesus. Choose righteousness, right living, and you will never be sorry. I'm going to pray for us, and then after I pray, I've got a quick announcement. Lord, I thank you that you are helping us. God, speak to us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Where are areas that we need to be tweaked, to turn from our sin? Lord, help us, God, to make good choices, to not allow the enemy to even have a foothold. No invitation. God, I pray this for all of us. And Lord, as we leave here in a moment, Lord, that you go before us, behind us, and all around us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and turn the lights on for a second. We started, before I preached, we gave a little encouragement. We're believing for 50 people or more. Come on. Wow. 50 people or more that will say, hey, I'll walk or run. And that you'll join me and Joe and others. And I would just want to encourage you, stick around for a couple minutes. If you're interested at all, we won't keep you long. There is a ministry or a missions trip meeting that Pastor Bobby will be doing in the Gateway Kids area. They're going to happen at the same time. So if you're interested in Iowa, do that. And then Pastor Bobby will take and say, hey, if you're interested in this as well, and he can cover both. He's well-versed in world vision. And so anyway, otherwise, let's move to the front. We'll get this going here in about, we'll give it a couple minutes to turn and greet each other. In about 4 or 5 minutes, we'll be right up front in these first 4 or 5 rows, and we'll be on our way. God bless you. Go in the grace of God.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from the Gateway Church. If you'd like to find out more about our church, such as service times, giving, and ways to get connected, visit us at thegateway.church.